Midnight Suns hands-on impressions, Control 2 is now in development, and the Game Awards nominees have arrived. All this and more on the latest episode of Checkpoint. And we are live.
Welcome back, everybody, to Checkpoint, episode 139. This is the show brought to you by Strictly Casual. It's your number one show, rounding up all the hottest gaming news stories of the week and discussing all the relevant topics you need to know about. I'm Ronnie, your host today, Ryder Maldonado, filling in for James Walmer, as always. And joined today is the fabulous Vincent DeSantis.
Hey, yo, what's up, everybody?
How you doing? How you feeling with the...
Doing good, bro.
It's a new day.
Finished God of War last night. It's just, you know, so a lot of thoughts. No spoils in the podcast. Did. No spoils, but can't wait to talk about it.
If you could give your emotions, like emotionally, what did this game do to you?
Shredded me up a little bit. At the end, shredded me up, for sure. Hey, I don't really want to say how and what ways, but it's different. It's different ways than the first game, and with different characters than I was expecting to be kind of attached to.
Oh, yeah. 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 I will say, just being like real quick, like 20, maybe like 10, 15 hours in, they brought it with the performances. Oh, they brought did. It. I was shocked. I was like, this is top tier acting.
God,
movie acting.
It is.
Super good. Super good. But I guess I'll get into housekeeping. Ladies and gents, thanks for listening and supporting us here on the channel. We appreciate you guys. If you're listening on Spotify or Apple or wherever, give us a review and let us know what you think here on the channel. And, you know, it helps us out. If you think we're doing something wrong, let us know what we can do better. You know, it helps us out. And, of course, you can check us out on all our social media. Link down below. We have Twitter and Instagram and all the social media. It's linked down below. Whatever you feel like you want to check us out.
Hey, follow us on Hive.
Yeah. And Hive, yeah, we got Hive. Same as our Twitter. So if you're on the Hive,
yeah, just join at Mr. Allenwood over there and hit him up.
Are we bees? Are we considered bees now? Because we're Hive.
I can ask anonymous questions. How like middle school is that? I'm gonna go in Ryder's account and just ask him a bunch of anonymous creepy questions.
This is what you do. I'm gonna go to yours. I'm gonna be like, who do you like?
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Who's your biggest crush?
Your biggest crush, yeah.
Okay, Ryder, before we get into the news, this story right here, this first story that I have, I handpicked it for James because this is like, I wanted to present this to James as a, you know, as a story here. Because we know, what's your hype level for Marvel's Midnight Suns?
I would say surprisingly, like middle to high, like probably 6 or 7.
Okay.
I'm very optimistic for it that... The uniqueness of it, you know, like it being a card game, like I'm gonna be sold in playing it, kind of like Marvel Snap, you know, like I didn't think I'd be into it, but because it's Marvel themed, I love it because it's characters that we enjoy, you know, so it's there.
Yeah. So
what about you?
James was coming at it from the perspective of like, oh, this game's made by a developer that made one of my favorite games, XCOM. But he's like, you know, pretty anti-Marvel guy over there, James. So I gave this article, I'm pitching it as, this is from Ashley Bardham from Kotaku. And she says, the new Marvel XCOM seems good enough to turn me, a hater, into a fan.
Wow. Interesting. That's great. Okay.
So here's how she starts the article. I tend to land on the Martin Scorsese side of the superhero craze. The problem is the amusement park films, he said in 2019, and so I admittedly went into Marvel's Midnight Suns feeling bratty. The tactical role-playing game, which was delayed twice before finally landing on its current December 2nd release date, comes from an adored XCOM creator's Firaxis Games. But even that association of dignity didn't feel like enough to dull what I saw as a too squeaky superhero sheen. I was wrong, though. So here we go.
Oh...
The game is a bit of a stuffed spice rack, but the game's turn-based the game's turn-based combat is what convinced me to get invested. You could play both story-centered and unrelated optional missions and arrange your team against Hydra forces or special enemies like the Slavering, Molten Alien Venom. Each of your heroes has a couple of cards in their moveset that correspond to different attacks, like a whip that knocks villains to the ground or a forcible knock to the stomach. But a typical match requires more strategy than just selecting your most punishing card, which I like.
Yeah, yeah.
I spent most of my 6-ish hours of the game on fighting, but Midnight Suns has a lot more to offer. There's a character creator, hero customization, and bedroom decor. There are mushrooms to forage, clubs to join, and gifts to collect and give. At one point, Tony Stark focused his weepy baby blues on me and asked me for help because, as the game pointed out, quote, the life of a superhero is complicated, and sometimes they could use advice.
Oh my gosh. I'm loving what I'm hearing.
So we got, and I'm just picking, this is a huge long article. I just picked like points out.
Yeah.
I know all these elements, and I haven't even mentioned the skill upgrades and the tarot card collectibles and the Cinnabar Hellhound you pet and earn arcane knowledge sound like clutter. But in my brief time with the game, I felt like they flowed together as natural conceivable parts of daily life in the sprawling stone abbey. You've been brought out of a 300-year-long coma. You travel through space-melting portals to fight soldiers alongside super people and super witches. So sure, why wouldn't a typical day involve cards with the vampire blade and a rare swimsuit as a reward? The game is summer at Coney Island, crowded, sometimes with kitsch, but it turns out I don't mind the self-indulgence. I thought that was very well written.
Oh my god. This is so great to hear, because already off the bat, I haven't seen too much trailers for this. It's just very brief. And so for her to talk about like his portals and stuff like that is like, I bet there's so much depth to this in locations that we go to that it's you know, and then the comments you said about the spice rack. I just want to, you know, have my shirt and I'm, you know, all these characters. Yeah. It's so crowded with so much that I'm holding on to them. And it's just throwing them out there and just kind of watching a simulator go, you know, you wait and watch. But like, I'm excited to see what this looks like.
There's a lot of gameplay if you want to see some. Like, there's a ton. I was watching some, and they keep it interesting enough to where there's not a lot of waiting around, which is nice, because I feel like that could be a problem with turn-based strategy games. Like, if they're not giving you enough to do, your mind wanders, and then you're not in the game anymore, and then you just do something else. But the animations are sick. The finishing moves are really dope. I think the enemy design is cool, too. I do want to check this out. I definitely want to check it out.
It really is like a AAA Marvel Snap, like... You know, when you you throw a card and it's like a full animation.
It's just not a deck builder. Like,
it's not a deck builder,
Which I guess.
But so character creator, I'm guessing you have your roster, right? Of everybody who's, you know, the Doctor Strange, the Ghost Rider, and it's like that. And you're messing around with how they look, like maybe the black and yellow that we saw from the trailer.
Yeah.
Or the, you know, maybe a iconic suit that they have from a comic book. Like, that's gonna be fun.
You can customize all those plus like the main character is like your custom character. So that's create like a canon character in the universe or whatever that's happening.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, this sounds great. And then if there's a lot to do, like besides the main, but like if there's like, I guess, side stuff, you know, like whatever that entails, maybe that is just more card stuff or
it showed,
I don't know what the gameplay is.
There. Yeah. So the gameplay is that turn-based, you know, move your character, attack here, move this person over here, you know, do this double finisher, watch this sweet animation, you know, take it down. But then there's like the other side of it is they have like their base camp, which is the Abbey, which is their it's like a house. And you can third person walk around. Like you just walk around in that, you explore, talk to people. It's very, I know you're not a big fan of anime, but in a lot of JRPGs, they have this feature where you play a mission and then you come back to home base and you just have conversations with characters and all of a sudden you gain all these new abilities to take to the next
game. Oh, yeah. Wow.
So that's what this is like. It's like you do a couple missions, you come back, everybody's hanging out, chilling. You talk with Blade. You talk with Ghost Rider. You spar with Tony Stark and then you gain all these like knowledge and pieces and cards or whatever for the next battle.
See, and take it from someone who's very, like, I guess, linear in the choices of games, right? Like, something like Marvel Snap, too, as well, is not something that I would ever see myself doing. But like you just described, because it's Marvel-themed, I'd be all in to just hearing conversation and just going, you know, I'm in.
I would hope that this gets you in the door because it's Marvel and you stay for the cool, like...
Yeah.
Gameplay, because this studio, like Fire Access, is known, they're like world class for this, like nobody does it better. Nobody does it better than them. So like I hope it opens the door because it's Marvel or whatever, but you go in and you see that there's like there is great because of this reason, this is great because of this reason. I would hope, and I hope that's like a lot of people, because I think turn-based combat games are, they have like a, it's like a gate kind of, it's hard to go through. It's hard to like, not that it's gate kept, but
progress.
I don't know. It's just hard to get into.
Yeah.
So Marvel makes it easier to get into right off the bat. for a lot of people.
It's a wish list it now. I have it wish listed, and you know what else is releasing the same day? The Callisto Protocol. And I'm like, two games? Come on. I think December 1st they both come out.
Big day.
Second.
Big day.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, I gotta make a choice, but
you gotta finish God of War first.
I gotta finish God of War.
And we gotta get some Warzone dubs.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure we'll talk about it later on, but like Black Friday deals for a lot of people looking out.
Yeah.
And man, dude, I have some games that I've wish listed for a long time. Big sales.
Okay.
Big sales. And I'm like, I'll ask you about it. If like, do I buy this? Like, do I go in?
Do I spend the money? Because
you played it. But yeah, anyways.
Okay. Okay. That's exciting. Show me your list at the end of the episode.
Okay.
All right. Clip time.
Okay. Oh, my bad.
You.
Oh, like I'm so used to you. Got it. Okay.
You here we go. Throw it to me.
Okay. Here we go. Ready? All right, ladies and gents, we're starting in 3, 2, 1. The Game Awards 2022 is on its way, and the nominees have been announced. And so we're going to be going through some of the predictions here on what we think could win. Vincent, let's go ahead and break it down. What we got?
Yeah, so this comes from Game Rant. The nominees for the Game Awards 2022, slated to be held on the 8th of December, have finally been announced. There are a total of 31 categories of awards and 108 games to choose from this year. The nominees are selected by a jury consisting of around 100 media outlets. Fans get to cast their votes before the ceremony takes place to determine the winners. And this year, there are many noteworthy games that have been nominated for Game Awards Game of the Year. Ryder, have you voted yet? Is the question.
I'm waiting to vote because I'm trying to finish Stray.
Yes.
Stray is one that I'm trying to finish. Horizon, I've already put like a majority of time into it that I feel like I know it. God of War, I'm sure I'll finish.
We got Xenoblade Chronicles 3. This is all the game of the year, biggest category. Xenoblade Chronicles 3, A Plague Tale Requiem, Stray, Horizon Forbidden West, Elden Ring, and God of War Ragnarok. That is for the big game of the year.
Big.
Yeah, so I haven't voted yet either. I just finished God of War. Mm-hmm. I've played Elden Ring. I've played 100%ed Elden Ring, 100%ed Horizon Forbidden West, but have not played Plague Tale, Stray, or Xenoblade 3.
I think Stray is the easy one to knock out or even like just even get into because it's all the same for the majority of the game that you could play maybe like an hour and you'll be like, cool, I know what it is. And the story's like, you don't really need the story. It's more of like a gameplay type of game. But yeah, I'm close to finishing Stray, so I'm going to finish Stray. Horizon, I'm deep into. Elden Ring, I think I'll probably see more footage of because it was hard for me to get into it.
Yeah.
And then God of War, of course, I'll finish. And Plague Tale, I've watched footage of. And Xenoblade, I know nothing of. So it's like I'm up and down with some of these, but
it's an interesting what list. I think.
Yeah. What'll take it? Oh, jeez.
I got some questions for you.
Yeah. Here we go.
What kind of genre, like these games, I would say, are all of the same genre? The Game Awards is getting a lot of heat for that this year. Is that, these are all third-person action games. Like, is a third-person action game the only thing that can be nominated for a Game of the Year? Is it the only thing that can win a Game of the Year? Because if you look at years prior, there's a lot of that.
Like the same genre, right? The same type of game?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's interesting because like we had, even last year, what one was It Takes Two, right? It Takes Two. No,
that's true.
Yeah, It Takes Two, and that was more like the
co-op adventure co-op game.
Couch. Yeah, and it's like great, like give God of War story and give some of these performances. I mean, Plague Tale, Horizon, and God of War all have some of the best performances like of the year. Crazy. So it's like I see them taking the taking the cake for actor and actress and whatever. But like we might see something like Xenoblade win. Where Xenoblade is like the most different from everything, I feel like.
Yeah, it's a JRPG. Maybe Stray. Yeah.
Yeah, so it could be Stray. Like, well, I mean, I don't know. I doubt it, but that's what I'm saying here.
I don't know how much stock to put into this. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's really hard to see. Based on reviews that I've seen and the most talk, like Elden Ring was talked about. I think Elden Ring wins Game of the Year. And I think because it was talked about for so long. It was like months of talk of this game. Whereas like Stray is hot for 2.5 weeks. Everybody's talking about it. Then you don't hear about it anymore. God of War, I feel like we're still hearing about it, but it's starting to go down a little bit. But Elden Ring was so long of like everybody talking about it. I think it wins.
Here's my, okay, my last point before we move on, I think for God of War, I think it might win because we've seen in the past that Game Awards and all the judges always side with story. We've seen Last of Us, Witcher, and even the first God of War, and like even Spider-Man like getting nominated. Like, I think they really side with story.
Sure.
So I think like how, you know, it's important for you, the first God of War, and then the second one is really like affecting you, like the story. So I think they're going to, I think a lot of people are going to be affected by the story and say that is, that's what wins the best game.
But Ryder, there's a category for that, and that is called Best Narrative. What you just described is exactly what Best Narrative is, and that is has a couple games up for it. That's Plague's Tale Requiem, Elden Ring, God of War Ragnarok, Horizon Forbidden West, and your favorite game of all time, Immortality.
Oh, man, let me tell you. You can get your Xbox Game Pass right now and try out Immortality. That's a plug. I got to plug that. I always love Xbox Game Pass.
You got to plug it? I thought you hated Immortality.
No, no, not Immortality. Xbox Game Pass. My bad. Xbox Game Pass. But yeah, Immortality, it's one of the craziest games I've ever experienced in my life. Because it's live action. It's real. But you go through clips, and it's just weird because it's very, man, it's very like, just like, I don't even know how to describe it. It's such a very mature, vulgar game. it's so yucky playing through it. I'm like, ugh, I feel uneasy playing this.
Yeah.
And then it tries to be like, I want to say art house, like an art house film, but it doesn't work as a game.
Okay.
It's so like one note, like you have like not even like one function, maybe like A and move. And oh, it tries so hard. It's so pretentious. I'll say that.
The night Ryder tried it, Ryder was like, oh, this is interesting. The next morning, he's like, this is the worst game I've ever. He's like, this is the worst game of the year.
So man, you guys, I just like look up a trailer and then experience some of it. Don't even waste your time with it. But
I mean, here's where I go from this too. I haven't played Plague Tale Requiem, so I don't know yet. Elden Ring, I understand that there's a lot of people that connect with Elden Ring's lore and story and stuff, but as someone who just played the game and did not watch lore videos, tried to pay as much attention as I can, followed some character storylines. I understand a couple things in the game that kind of happen.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that this has the best narrative. There's an argument. There's an argument that it does.
There is. It.
Not for me.
It's big. It's big and there's a lot.
Horizon Forbidden West is the Horizon series has not had a good story.
Yeah, it's hard to keep up with.
Which is, I know, hot take. I know a lot of people are like, oh, Horizon's so good. Aloy's such a good character. Like things like
this. She is, but it's a hard story. Yeah.
I think Aloy's a cool character. I don't know if there's much like depth. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's tough.
Yeah, but I think there's a lot to open your, you like, you really have to like in your heart make a stretch for it. But yeah, no, I see what you're saying.
I think God of War, I was the most I've connected with any of these games on here for sure.
Plague Tale, I'd say, is story first and then gameplay second, like with the rats and stuff like that. Yeah. Like the first one was very huge for a lot of people, and then the second one was anticipated, and I saw some footage of the second one, and I was like,
"It looked
like,
gorgeous, dude. I want to play eventually." Yeah, there.
It's weird, like it's very unique. It's unique on its own, story wise. Like there's nothing like it. And then of course, God of War. Man, the themes of God of War is just there's so much.
Just get ready, dude. The ending, they released a whole new soundtrack in the last 5 hours of the game. I swear.
Oh, dude, whenever I hear the theme of Freya, Faze, right?
His wife. Theme, yeah.
Hey, yeah. Man, I'm like, bro, I wish Vincent could see my chills right now, dude, because I sing that all the time.
Just get ready, bro. Get ready. Prepare your heart. We got a couple more. Yeah, go for it.
Oh, sorry. I was trying to do a cool segue like you. Speaking of music, we have outstanding music, of course, Plague Tale, Elden Ring, God of War, Metal Hellsinger, Two Feathers is the composer, and Xenoblade Chronicles 3. Now that's making a return. Yeah, okay, again.
For this, just like real quick, Metal Hellsinger, super cool, but it's like songs, and they just strip away songs, and play the songs. Because it's like a Guitar Hero, but a first-person shooter. It's epic. It's so cool.
Yeah. Elden Ring had, I remember even in the intro, man, some epic music.
Elden Ring's score is awesome. It rivals.
All I know is, hey, if anybody's going to Game Awards, say hi to us because we'll both be there.
Dude, yes,
the orchestra. The orchestra that when they do the song,
we're going to hear the best Elden Ring
theme ever.
Yeah, we're going to
all of them. It's going to be insane. Bear McCreary. I didn't know Bear McCreary has a cameo in the God of War game.
God, it's going to be awesome. Can't wait.
Yeah. Anyways, okay. And then best performances. I really appreciate the performances. Ashley Birch, Horizon. We have Charlotte McBurney, Plague Tale. We got Christopher Judge, Kratos, from God of War. Men Engage, Immortality. And then Sonny Soljic, which is, of course, a boy from God of War. Man.
Which, I would say that the best performance in the game is actually Freya. In
1,000%. She brought it.
Is there... They have a best supporting, right?
I think her name is Danielle, right? Something like that. Danielle, I believe. I think that's wrong.
She shouldn't even be a supporting role. She should just be up there.
She's a main character. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I see them maybe giving it to Ashley. Ashley Birch has been, I mean, just a powerhouse in the gaming industry for a long time, mm-hmm. and been in a lot of stuff. And I think it's her time to shine. So they might look at that and give her the award.
Sure.
She deserves it. But I mean, just all around. Madden's the main character in Mortality. Like, she's, yeah. I was like, she's yeah. cool. She's good. Performance wise, good, but story wise.
From these, I would say Christopher Judge for sure. But I haven't played Plague Tale yet, so hard for me to say.
Dude, can you believe we're going to see Sonny?
Again. Remember Sonny. When we saw him in 2018? He was there with Christopher Judge and Jonah Hill.
And Jonah Hill, yeah. How amazing. Cool was that? And then what do we got last one?
Best Indie is our final category we're kind of going over. There's a lot more categories if you guys want to check those out. But just we found some of our favorites that we wanted to talk about. Best Indie Game. We have Cult of the Lamb, Neon White, Sifu, Stray, and Tunic. All games that were talked about a lot this year.
Right there. See, that's how I see Stray taking that because it's in the main one. Stray could take that.
Yeah. I only played Sifu on this list. Mm-hmm. Although Neon White looked so freaking cool and I'm bummed I didn't jump on that train when it was moving and grooving.
For me too, like scene footage of all this, like they all look, I mean, amazing and unique in their own way.
And Tunic dropped on Game Pass and then dropped on a bunch of other platforms. Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm. That's more widely available now. But yeah.
Yeah. Man, I mean, let us know in the comments what you think is going to win. There's just a lot of crazy stuff here. I think it's going to be interesting to see because it is competitive. It's very competitive this year.
Yeah.
And I want to see where they side. But whatever you think, Vince.
If you want to watch the entire episode, you can become a member right here on youtube.com/strictlycasual. Or if you want to listen to the entire audio podcast for free, you can go on your favorite podcast platform, type in Strictly Casual Checkpoint. And it's a little blue box with yellow letters that says Checkpoint right there. Thank you guys so much for watching. And if you're going to the Game Awards, we will be there, baby. And we'll see you. We want to say hi.
Yeah. We want to say hi.
Peace out, everybody.
There you have it. Beautiful.
Our next story.
Moving on. We have Control 2 is now in production. Huge surprise. I think so. What do we think? Remedy's going Alan Wake 2 and then Control 2? Is that going to be the schedule?
I'm guessing? That's part of this.
Okay.
Check this out. Read up.
Okay. So we have Remedy announced that it has signed with 505 Games once again, co-develop and co-publish Control 2. Okay. There, I guess that's, co-develop. The game was previously in development under the codename Heyron, which was in the conceptual stage in late 2021. According to today's announcement, the game is still in the concept stage, so it will be quite a while before we get to see the game in action. Control 2's initial development budget amount to 50 million euros, I want to say that symbol is, and Remedy will retain the ownership of the game's intellectual property. The development, marketing, and post-launch investments, as well as the future net revenues generated by the game, will be equally split between 505 Games and Remedy. The game will be available on PC, PS5, Xbox Series X and S, and will be built on Remedy's proprietary Northlight engine and tools.
Yeah, so it isn't necessarily a surprise that Control 2 is happening, because they did announce that like they were doing it, like a next Control game and stuff, but this is like... They're working on it now. Like, it's being actively created and made. So, we're probably years
good
away.
Good for them.
But very excited. Did you play the first
one? Yeah, a little bit of the first one. I was like, really cool. Good for them. Yeah. Doing two games at once now. Like, they're like, wow, flexing a little bit.
Yeah, they're doing two games at once. But Pokemon tries to put out two games a year. And it has very mixed reviews.
Oh, man.
So, moving on over. To a review roundup for Pokemon Scarlet and Violet. We have a couple things here from a couple different sources. I got to get the Metascore still. So,
okay.
Let me read this. GameSpot gives it an 8 out of 10 and says, quote, While undercooked presentation and visual issues hold the games back, Pokemon Scarlet and Violet are still the best mainline Pokemon game in years. They build off Pokemon Legends Arceus's open-ended design in some thoughtful and surprising ways and retain that same level of depth that the mainline series is known for, and that's from Jake Decker. Video Game Chronicle gives it a 4 out of 5, Video Game 24/7, 4 out of 5, Inverse 7 out of 10, Nintendo Life 7 out of 10. Ryder, what does Game Radar say?
We have the basic mechanics of Pokemon remain largely untouched. It's still catching, battling, and training as you remember it. And while that may be enough for many devotees, Generation 9 is a tougher sell for those who need more of a reason to engage with the series, impacted as it is by technical issues, mechanical oversights, and a lack of vision. Ooh. Pokemon Scarlet and Violet should have been a bright and bold entry that sets up the series for future expansion, but an attempt to modernize while staying loyal to the past hasn't really succeeded in doing either one. That's Joel Franey from Games Radar.
Yeah. An interesting thing here is Metacritic right now is at a 76, which is good.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But the user score is at a 2.9 out of 10.
Oh, okay. Jeez, that's not good.
I know you don't really have a deep history with Pokemon, Ryder.
I do not, no. I've heard a lot about this. And I know this was on a lot of people's radar. It released the same time as like Sonic, right? And it was kind of like, yeah. What are you citing with this or Sonic?
And God of War.
How bad is this for the Pokemon franchise? Is this a big hit or
not
is it
terrible?
Like...
I think here's the issue. This game runs terribly on the Switch. There's performance issues, there's bugs. It's an open world game that looks completely dead, like there's nothing in the world. If you look up photos, it's just empty. And then you put it next to screenshots on the Switch of Breath of the Wild, of like lush, beautiful open world, like stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't look good. But like behind the coat of ugly paint that is smeared across all the visuals, like there's a solid game under here of like, you know, back to typical Pokemon form of going to battling gyms, you know, making your team better and stronger and stuff, catching more Pokemon. Okay. Like that loop of gameplay is still fun and still great.
Mm-hmm.
But it sucks, dude. That's two in a row that have really bad, that have not run well on Switch. I have Arceus, the last one, and it's good, but not great. This review here is negative. It says 4 out of 5, and it says, 4 out of 10, saying, it's almost amazing, which makes it terrible. Let me elaborate. And so he goes into this entire long thing. So it's interesting. Game Freak as a company only has, they make all the Pokemon games. They have 150 employees or something, and they're trying to, they busted out 2 games this year. Like, just take your time. Okay.
Here we go.
Great one.
To quote the reinstated Bob Iger, as he once said to Kathleen about Star Wars, slow down. Hey, I'm for, listen, slow down, like you said, and don't rush yourselves. I know this is a big IP and you're trying to deal with a lot. Yeah. I mean, it's one of the biggest on the planet. Yeah. Everyone on the planet knows what this is. But yeah, I get that this game was, I mean, this was mainly, was it targeted for Switch?
Switch. That's it.
Oh, it's only Switch.
Yeah.
Oh, that's worse.
It
okay.
Hurts, dude.
Well,
there's nowhere else to play it. And even.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. I wished this was really, really good. I wanted a reason to just go pick it up very bad.
Because we saw, I remember watching the trailers with you about this during one of the shows, Summer Games Fest. But yeah, I'm sad to hear it. But yeah, slow down and hopefully, the next release that we see, we'll see how they gauge. Let's see if they learn their lesson from this.
The next release?
Not.
We'll see. We thought,
not that this is as bad, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not that. It's not like it's like a 2.
Another interesting, it's not like it's unplayable or anything. I think people are just upset. Yeah. Like, really? Like, come on. Mm-hmm. This is also the new generation of Pokemon. So it's 10th gen, I believe, or something like that.
Generation
10, which means they introduced 100 new Pokemon. So they just hit Pokemon number 1,000. So there's 1,000 Pokemon that exist. And the 1,000th one looks so underwhelming.
It's just like an egg. It's just like an egg. It's like a little shell of an egg.
It's a, oh my God. It
looks like, 1,000 Pokemon.
Yeah, Pokemon number 1,000. It's like a shiny gold.
Tiny. It's a penne pasta. It's a penne pasta noodle.
Penne pasta. And it's like one of those things at the car lots that go like.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The crazy inflatable tube guy. Yeah. And he's on a skateboard, looks like, right? Or like some kind of levitating. He's on like a, what's it called? Not a skateboard, a snowboard.
It looks ridiculous.
Everybody, please look up Pokemon 1000. Look up the guy. Look up the dude.
He's on a skateboard. Oh my god, he's on a snowboard. Yeah.
He's golden though, so he is like special because he's the 1000. But
people say he looks like a cereal mascot. His name is Goldango.
Oh my gosh. I don't know why. Yeah, he even has like a little belt. He's completely gold, but he does look like a little. He looks like the big Chungus, honestly. Like, I don't know why. I was expecting like a giant dragon, like something epic for 1000.
Me too.
But it's Penne Pasta.
Yeah. And his so that's his evolved state. So his state before that is he's in a treasure chest and it's a little ghost treasure chest thing. I don't understand how that goes.
Oh my gosh. Not us roasting the 1000th Pokemon. We're sorry. It's just, it looks funny.
I love Pokemon.
No hate. Yeah, we support it here.
I love the Pokemon channel a lot. Ghost is now the champion of the world. He really beat them all.
Oh, yeah, wow.
Did I say Ghost?
Ghost, yeah.
Sorry. Ash is Ghost now the champion of the world.
Oh, okay. Ash, no, we got you. We understand. Okay.
In the show, mm-hmm. just this week, like after 15 years. He won.
Dang.
He beat everybody.
I'm so out of the loop, but
with his OG team, Pikachu, like it was so epic.
I believe the gravity of this scenario here.
it was a moment. It was a moment.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. So that's that. That's that.
That's that.
we gotta move on to some random fun stuff.
Here we go. This is funny. I saw a video about this. Yep. Star Citizen is free to play until the end of November. You do not have to spend $500,000 now. To play it.
You can spend $0 for the next 10 days. I am just so caught, like, interested in this game.
Oh, yeah, I was. And then Todd Howard came out and he said 1,000 planets for
Starfield.
So I said, I'm out. That's all I need, baby. No more Star Citizen for me.
Goes more for the simulator aspect.
Yeah. But because, like, dude, I'm talking like you've seen this show when we were kids. Like, I was a child, and I saw this, and I was like, oh my god, this is the perfect game for me, a space open world.
Right.
And then as soon as we saw, like, you know, many years later, we hop on together, and we see the trailer for Starfield. Really? And that scratched the itch in my brain that was like, this is the perfect game.
I'm so cautious about Starfield still.
I know, I'm scared too.
Because, I don't know, the way that they do, like, the way that Fallout games are kind of made, where you, like, the camera's snaps onto a person and then it goes hits these dialogue issues with someone standing there going like bah, 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 and then just hit the dialogue. Like I don't like that. Worrisome. It's not fun.
Yeah. It's a lot.
It's like in Ubisoft Assassin's Creed games, whenever you talk to someone and they go and then their arms go down really robotic.
So you're gonna help me find this sword, huh?
It's the same animation in Odyssey, Valhalla, and Origins that they use for every character, that anytime you're in a conversation with someone, they go and they talk. It's the I hate it, dude.
No, dude, this, you are 100% right. And Star Citizen is something though on its own.
I like watching gameplay. People that are really into it, it's really fun.
I like the videos where it's like, I spent $1 million on a spaceship, and I'm like, oh my god.
And I crashed it.
I crashed it. Yeah. Well, that's worse.
I lost the wife and kids to Star Citizen.
Oh yeah. I bet my house on the game. Yeah. Damn, that's horrible.
And we also have the next gen update for The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt is coming December 14th, free for everyone who owns the game.
Oh, I wonder if this counts. Oh, I don't think it's on Game Pass, but it was for a time.
Witcher 3?
Yeah.
Dude, I bought... Uh-oh. Ladies and gentlemen.
Man, this game, it's going to look cool because it's like a reskin, right? It's like something completely new. You're good. You're still here.
All right, I'm back. Still here. Thank God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like completely.
They're having a live stream this week that kind of goes over everything. But they're adding a bunch of content from the Netflix Witcher. So, like, you're going to be able to play as Henry Cavill's girl.
That's right, dude. Cool. That's it. Right there. That's all I need.
There's, I mean, of course, it's like a visual remaster, up-res, stuff like that. Textures, lighting, audio. It's like a whole. It's not a remake, but they're just revamping everything around it that's already great about the game. People say this is like one of the greatest games of all time.
Yeah. Really, truly.
So I picked it up like 3 months ago, 4 months ago. It was on sale for $10 on PlayStation for Witcher 3 with all DLC, Game of the Year edition, every single thing. So I'm just waiting. For $10, I will have this brand new
game. Gosh, the backlog, bro. I'm interested to see. We need to do a video of like, comparing our backlogs.
God, it's big.
It's atrocious. Mine's just awful.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Like I still haven't finished Village, Resident Evil Village from way back.
Yeah.
That's where it starts, kind of. And then it kind of goes. And then there's a DLC for Village that came out that continues the story. And I'm really into the Resident, the RE story, you know me. And so I'm like.
Ugh. Did you watch the story before you finished playing the story of Resident Evil Village?
I did, yeah.
That's why you stopped playing. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because, Hollow, shout out Hollow on YouTube, one of the coolest playthrough, Hollow Point. And I watched him do the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is great. I still have the urge to play. Usually I don't.
Sure.
Because I have to, like, I haven't seen anything God of War. So if I do, I won't play the game.
God, it's so good.
I bet. But yeah, for RE Village, I'm like, I had to see the story. I had to know what happens. It was the ending.
Dude, there's a twist in God of War that I am still shocked by.
Are you serious?
I'm so serious. Oh my God,
that is so great to hear, dude.
I'm so serious. Because
up to this point, I have not, you know me, I look up spoilers all the time. I don't know anything now. And it's,
do you know
it makes for
anything?
The best experience.
Like, have you seen anything that is like, oh, well, I do know this.
I kind of know, like, I saw a screenshot of a final battle and I know what this is.
Okay. Yeah.
You know what I mean? But
no
like,
big
I'm
deal.
Just like,
without the emotions behind it, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Even if I see moments like that, like gameplay, I'm like, oh, cool. But when the story beats are hitting, I'm like, man, you know, even when Freya's crying, she's like, I'm done. I'm like, that is hitting for me. That's so I didn't good. See that. And it's great.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Where you're at.
Yeah.
On this realm, you're in Vanaheim, I believe, right now.
Yeah. We're about to talk to Freyr, the brother, again, the second time. Not the first time.
Yeah. Right after this, literally right after this, Freya is going to mention that she has something to do, like
Vanaheim, yeah.
And it's a side quest. Don't miss it. Don't miss it.
Okay. Okay.
It's
okay,
so
play.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so. It's yeah, like yeah. It's okay, one of the better side quests. There's like three side quests in the game that are just like incredible, and that's one of them.
Okay. Yeah. I went back and I did one of the other ones on Svartalfheim. I freed that whale.
So
that was
good.
Crazy. Oh.
Man,
it was great. Oh man,
God, love it.
So good. Okay,
that was no big spoiler. Sorry for everybody.
Yeah,
playing
no big spoilers.
God War. There's no. Yeah. Thanks, guys, for watching. Cool. Thanks for watching episode 139. I hope everybody has a fantastic Thanksgiving. Eat some food. Yeah. Spend some time with the fam. Mm-hmm. Tell your loved ones you love them.
Yeah.
Be and thankful. Have a lot of mashed potatoes.
Oh yes, there's a lot to be thankful for. Mashed potatoes is one of them.
And a lot of cheese.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, y'all. We'll see you on episode 140 next week.
Wow.
Peace out, everybody. Bye-bye. Bye.